Cicero. Lipschitz.
And now, the six merry murderesses of the Cook County Jail in their rendition of the Cell Block Tango.
Drinking a beer and chewing. No, not chewing. Popping! So I said to him, I said, you pop that gum one more time. And he did. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired two warning shots into his head.
He had it coming! He had it coming!
I met Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City about 2 years ago, and he told me he was single, and we hit it off right away.
So we started living together. He'd go to work, he'd come home, I'd fix him a drink, we'd have dinner.
And then I found out. Single, he told me. Single my ass. Not only was he married, oh no, he had six wives. One of those Mormons, you know? So that night when he came home from work, I fixed him his drink, as usual. You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
He had it coming. He had it coming.
Standing in the kitchen, carving up the chicken for dinner, minding my own business. In storms my husband Wilbur in a jealous rage. You've been screwing the milkman, he says. He was crazy, and he kept on screaming, you've been screwing the milkman.
And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I'd bet you
Мід, кірашекері, остмо якою гірашлоком лево к тому фері. І не глячі б тому феє. Та не ми гос. І нарто тлом войок. Не тудом. Мертмо я анкл сам хок ін тан там. Проболтом. Аренда шенген мег моя разні. Ті намір татик мег.
Я б ти чи ти ви?
А-а. Not guilty.
My sister Veronica and I had this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we did these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, splits, spread eagles, backflips, flip-flops, one right after the other. So this one night before the show, we're down at the Hotel Cicero, The three of us boozing, having a few laughs. And we run out of ice, so I go out to get some. I come back, open the door, and there's Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle. Well, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later, when I was washing the blood off my hands, I even knew they were dead. They had it coming.
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 They had it
coming.
They had it
coming.
She didn't do it.
But if I'd done it, how could you tell me that I was wrong? They had it coming.
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 They took the fall
along. More than I could possibly say. He was a real artistic guy. Sensitive. A painter. But he was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself, and on the way, he found Ruth, Gladys, Rosemary, and Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive, and I saw him dead.
The dirty bum, bum, bum.
Times.
Number
17, the spread
eagle. Artistic differences.
Pop.
Six. Squish. Cicero.
Lipschitz. Good morning, Muppetlings. Thank you for listening to the entire rendition of the Cell Block Tango. I'm sure everyone deeply appreciated it. It's probably my favorite song from this period of musicals. It's a weird morning, y'all. It's 9:15, and Amelia's not arrived. Which is going to present an interesting issue, because we had a little bet going that at some point this semester her alarm wouldn't go off. And at which point, we assumed that I would just, I don't know, do a little Muppet lecture or something along that line. I did prep it, and I did look at my notes, which I prepped, I think, in, like, January or February. And they're atrocious. We're going to see how this goes. I will probably talk about Cabaret Chicago and Pippin shortly, knowing me, knowing how many notes I actually have, but I am hoping that she comes along a little later. So let's talk a little bit about Muppets, yeah? All right. First things first, it occurs to me that we've actually never defined Muppets as like a brand or as a media output. Muppets are not puppets. That's probably where we should start. Muppets are, it's a portmanteau of marionette and puppet. It refers to a specific design of, well, puppets, that was invented by Jim Henson, sort of invented, sort of stolen, unclear whether he was the first person to do it, but it's the name was his anyway. And it specifically refers to the type of puppets that he used where it had the hand through the body portion of the puppet, but still mechanical features, which are more common in a marionette. So strings or poles that would operate other parts of the puppet, or even finger flaps inside of the puppet's face to move its eyes or its other like adjustable features like its nose. These puppets were originally used on a show called Salmon Friends in 1955. Muppet lore, y'all, goes back 70 years. 70 years worth of Muppet craziness. They didn't really become a successful brand, though, until the 60s. The Muppet Show, which is the thing that got them really popular, it was started in 1974. Until then, they were pretty successful commercially through like late night talk shows and because of Salmon Friends and because of Sesame Street, which actually predates the Muppet Show. It starts in 1969. Lol. These are both created by the same group of guys. Some people don't overlap both, but the main ones do. Jim Henson, Frank Oz, who kind of give like improv comedy energy to me. I imagine them like in college, like meeting, doing like either a cappella or improv. This is probably Pitch Perfect related. And then just starting the Muppets because they couldn't get any girls, which is evidenced in the fact that they don't know how to portray girls with Muppets. That's a side tangent, to be so for real. Anyway, the Muppet Show is a variety kind of vaudeville type TV show, which is like closely associated with SNL. They have the same segments. I posted on Instagram this morning or last night at like 10, and it was like a Muppet News Flash or whatever, which is a segment on the Muppet Show that was directly stolen from SNL, the one where they do like the news reports. It's they follow the same thing. They have one guest star every day, every show, and they. For that like episode, they do little design skits that they collaborate with this person on, so that they are like starring in them. This does mean that early Muppets are pretty risque, actually, because they're kind of copying SNL's vibe. So their first shows were like it was the Muppet Show, and then they had two adjacent side ventures called the Muppet Valentine's Show and then Muppet Show Sex and Violence. They were both like unrealized pilots that were like Muppets for adults. The Muppets were never really for little kids. They were kind of for adults anyway, but they were mostly clean, mostly being the keyword. Muppet Show Sex and Violence and Valentine's Show would have been far more risque and wouldn't have necessarily included the main Muppet characters as much. Like Kermit would have stayed mostly on the Muppet Show, and then other side characters would have taken the lead on the adjacent shows if they had been successful. But rather, their next successful venture was their full-length films, of which there are like 11. Let me count 11. That's not including Muppet Haunted Mansion, by the way. That is not a feature-length film, so it doesn't count. Anyway, right. So they got into feature-length films, the Muppet movies, their first one in 1979, and then around that time the Muppet Show ends, and Jim Henson passes away about 10 years later. In that time, they've done about 3 movies. They've done Fraggle Rock as well. So they're still doing a bit of TV, a bit of movies. And at that time, they were also haggling with Disney for intellectual property rights. They wanted to do the Muppet Vision ride in Disney World, which did open in 1991 despite Henson's passing. But the final, combination of their little like symbiosis didn't really reach its final form until about 2005. At that time, they got the Jim Henson Productions, the show, the company that owned the Muppets, to give them intellectual property, and they produced Muppet Wizard of Oz, which is an atrocious Muppet movie and kind of fumbles the ball a little bit, and they struggle to reintroduce the Muppets into the mainstream media for a while after, because they just, it truly was a commercial disaster. They lost Frank Oz over it. And with Jim Henson's passing, they didn't really have anyone that wanted to do Muppet Ventures. That being said, they came back in 2011, which I think is really what we all remember, at least in this generation of the Muppets, in that, you know, it's just called The Muppets. We refer to it on the show as Muppets 2011, just for the sake of clarity. But it has such great commercial success that it sparks the next couple of Muppet movies, and then, of course, the Muppet series. I honestly think that what's kind of promoting them right now is Twitter. I'm not even going to lie. Or X, sorry. Previously known as Twitter. But the the current problems that we have with the Muppets and with their lack of media is the result of the Muppet series, which similarly to Sex and Violence and Muppet Valentine's show, it was just a bit too mature for what people would expect out of the Muppets. It's funny to me because it truly, like, the Muppets are an adult medium. They're silly, they're funny, but it's kind of like when you watch, like, The Simpsons or something, like, it's a kid's medium by design, but it's for adults. The jokes are for adults. And so, like, putting the Muppets into shows like Rocky Horror shouldn't be all that surprising, because they're kind of made for this. They kind of have that capability. They happen to not use curse words, for instance, unless you're watching the Muppet series. Anyway, that is my little brief history of the Muppets. Notably, we should say that Jim Henson Productions does not just have intellectual property to the Muppets. They also are, their adjacent ventures include Sesame Street, Fraggle Rock, a couple movies, Labyrinth, Dark Crystal. They also, Jim Henson and Frank Oz also created the character Yoda. They also had a short run little Disney Channel TV show called Bear in the Big Blue House. That is maybe my favorite thing ever. If you've not watched it, go watch it. It's the perfect thing for kids. It's better than Bluey. And I'll defend this. My little niece loves Bear in the Big Blue House. They have this little song. It's like, it's still on iTunes. I'm an iTunes girly. So sorry, not sorry. And it's called The Goodbye Song. And it to this day makes me cry. It's also just a bop. It shouldn't make you cry because you don't have the nostalgia necessarily. But, like, it's a bop. All right. Go listen to it. They're also, like, related to Farscape. I've never seen Farscape, and I don't know what it is, if I'm being really honest. They are not related to Avenue Q. This should be mentioned, because you would think that we could do the Muppets Avenue Q, but we can't, because Avenue Q robbed us of the Muppets intellectual property. They can't refer to themselves as Muppets within the show itself. They only call themselves Monsters, which is hilarious. It's a great musical, and it should be done more often. We joked so hard about doing it here, as just for the lols, and it never worked out because we didn't want to have to build, like, 12 puppets. But can you imagine, though? Like, I imagine, like, Callum and Cameron having, like, a little argument with puppets on the Byer stage, and I'm filled with, like, a deep joy. I think it's the Panto girl in me. Like, I could imagine the entire Panto cast doing Jack and the Beanstalk again, which was our show in January. If you didn't see it, you missed out, with puppets. and trying desperately to get Callum to not use super vulgar language with puppets would have been a really interesting little adventure. We're approaching like 9:30, so I think I actually am going to actually talk about the Schmigago alignment. For those of you who haven't seen Schmigadoon, again, go watch it. This is really just promo at this point. So Schmigadoon did 2 seasons and was actually set to do 3, but only managed to do 2 because they didn't get renewed. But they were supposed to do different decades of musicals. So the first season is Schmigadoon, which is referencing Brigadoon, a musical from the Golden Age. And so all of the music and like characterization in the first season is Golden Age, which is why last week we did Golden Age. It was our Schmigadoon episode. This week we're doing Schmigago. For them, for the Schmigadoon whatever TV show, that meant any alternative musical from the 60s and 70s. The main ones that they used were obviously Chicago. And then Cabaret, Pippin. They also did Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell and a few others. We didn't pick those for this week because we wanted to do an Andrew Lloyd Webber week. And because Godspell doesn't actually have any named characters in it. The characters just are in like the playbill. They're listed as their actors' names with the song they sing next to it. So you can't really cast it with Muppets unless you want to like do long descriptions of their vocals, which is just boring. Point being, we're doing alternative musicals from the 60s and 70s this week. 60s and 70s are kind of marked by how different they were from the Golden Age. So everything is a little bit more flashy, jazzy. You've got the introduction of Fosse. And everything's a little bit more risque, which is going to pose an interesting problem because it actually, like, it's not risque in the same way that, like, Rocky is risque, where it's, like, a fluid sort of risque. It's so old-fashioned. There's a moment in Schmigago where all of the actors in like the bar where they're doing their little cabaret are like, we're so risque. We smoke. We're women with full-time jobs. And a guy in the audience, because there's always a guy that's from like the modern era, he's like, that's fine. You can do that. And so it's like, it's risque, but in the most like secure way you can manage. That anyway, that's a side tangent. I think I'm going to start with Pippin. I have very mixed feelings about Pippin. It was a show I did in my high school in freshman year, which for reference for people that aren't American, it's like 14, 15. And it's not a good show. It's not bad. It's a Stephen Schwartz, which, we love like his later works. We love a good Wicked moment. It's Fosse. It's a sort of fictitious interpretation of the story of the son of Charlemagne, which is again, it's sort of fictitious. This show is very fictitious, but the lore around Pippin is less so. I think as we're discussing this, I'm going to be referencing the 2013 revival, because before that, it was even more rigid than it is now. Also, the revival includes like circus tricks, like they replace it into a full circus. It's a performance troupe in all the versions of it, but it's like full-fledged circus in 2013, which I find really awesome. I had to do like these weird stunts for it. I had to like learn how to do what do you call them? It's like doubles cartwheels. Like you grab someone's waist and then your feet and their feet are the propellers of the cartwheel. And it was a real trust exercise. I didn't know the person very well. And we got to know each other very well across the time we were doing the show. Anyway, Pippin, right. So Pippin is about the son of Charlemagne. It's really about this guy who wishes for fulfillment. Like he wants to do something that has more purpose. But at the time, like, he's the son of Charlemagne, and Charlemagne's married to Fastrada, and Fastrada's son is Louis. Definitely not reading off of the Wikipedia article. I remember the plot. I remember that there's a big theater troupe that is telling you the story of Pippin, which comes back later. It's kind of like a big, like, the entire cast before the show even begins is like speaking to you as an audience member, as if you're at a circus rather than at a show. And even like Pippin is self-aware that he's just acting in a show. But regardless, the main crux of the show is that Pippin gets like convinced that if he wants more fulfillment, he needs to become the king. And so he, like, you know, he murders his dad casually. And then he ends up having to run away from home, like Lion King style. And he finds himself, like, wishing for this romantic life with this country woman. But he can't have that. And yeah, it becomes very quickly complicated. But key characters, right? Key characters are Pippin, obviously, Charlemagne, Fastrada, Louis. There's also the leading player. Forgot almost for a second. There's an old woman who I believe's name is Bertha. Maybe? And then there's Pippin's girlfriend, Catherine. Louis, and then here it's listed there's a character named Theo. I don't remember a character named Theo. Pardonnez-moi. I feel like, oh, Theo is Pippin's or Catherine's son. I forgot. Okay. In our production, it was played by like a 7-year-old, and I think I spoke to him once, maybe. Okay, right, let's cross this with Muppets. Let's consider this for a second. We have options, because it would make, obviously, to me the most sense for Pippin to be Kermit. That being said, Pippin is like a naive little guy. I think there's a world in which he can be like Walter, and then Charlemagne can be Kermit. I need someone to, like, if y'all are listening and would like to get in on this conversation, please DM the Muppet account and let me know if this is the stupidest plan you've ever heard in your life. And if it's not the stupidest plan, the moral support would be much appreciated regardless. Okay, back up. Here's what I'm thinking. Charlemagne is Kermit. I know he dies halfway through. I will give him like a bigger role in the chorus, like, because they're never off the stage after he dies. But I stand by this, because Fastrada is 100% Piggy. There are other female characters. There's Catherine, but Catherine is an ingenue, and Fastrada is like, it's the prima donna Christine argument, like, and I'm gonna defend this to the death on Andrew Lloyd Webber week. You cannot give Christine to Piggy because it is the most, like, it is the most bare bones role, and Piggy would never. Piggy is has too much flair, too much drama. It's not gonna happen. I'm gonna fight for this. sorry. I don't know why I'm hear me outing myself. But you know, here we are. All right. I think the leading player is Gonzo. I think this for the same reason that I think that he's so many other narrating type roles. It's because in Muppet Christmas Carol, he was Charles Dickens. And there's no other way that I can conceive of him. That's what I've decided. All right. Pippin and Catherine are where we're going to have to get, I think, some people involved. I like the idea that the entire circus is Muppets and Pippin is the one who's not a Muppet, because this is a major spoiler alert. Log off if you don't know what happens in Pippin. The finale of Pippin is like all of the circus people pulling Pippin aside and going like, the ending of this is boring. Kill yourself. I wish we had like censors in this. Literally though, the plot is that they want him to do this like daredevil-y trick. And it's heavily implied that if he doesn't do it, that he'll die. Here, I'll read the description on Wikipedia just for... They tell him that the only fulfilling thing... He spends the whole show being, oh, what's fulfilling? Is their one perfect act, the finale, in which Pippin will light himself on fire, becoming one with the flame, implying that he will die in the process. They compare him to the sun, convincing him to sacrifice his life for one burst of glory. There's multiple versions of this ending, by the way. Like, there are versions where he dies. Or is there? I don't remember, actually. No. So, the first version is that the bleeding player, he says no. And then the show kind of ends with Pippin being like, I don't really know what to do, but at least I don't have to die. And then there's other versions of it where, and this is the version that my school did, where like Theo becomes the next Pippin, which is really scary. We liked it, but it was freaky. I this is like the like big factor though of these shows from this period. They all are very freaky. Back to the point though. Leading player is Gonzo. Pippin, because he is like the straight man against the chaos, I think he's the one human. And I want to give him to someone with an unbelievable voice. Who's the guy that's currently in... oh my gosh, what's his name? He was in Grease Live, and he was in Dear Evan Hansen. I will know his name in a second because I'm going to Google him. Oh my goodness gracious. Jordan Fisher. We're going to give him to Jordan Fisher because why not? I think he's got a good voice. And he plays a straight man well. Catherine, for that reason, needs to just be the ingenue to end all ingenues. I would almost give her to Camilla the Chicken because she doesn't do anything. Also, she owns a farm. I'm giving her to Camilla the Chicken. I hate this character, by the way. I say that as a person that was, like, the understudy for her. I literally hate her, though. She doesn't do anything. She is played by literally, like, Rachel Bay Jones, though. Rachel Bay Jones, like, is an acting powerhouse. For those of you that have seen Dear Evan Hansen. Why not let her act? Hear me out. Also, that means that Theo is Tiny Tim / Robin. I don't know why. It kind of, again, it becomes slightly concerning that a chicken is the mother of a frog. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to do things. And I don't have anyone to stop me. Anyway. Bertha. Let's do Bertha. Bertha seems easy. It should be a featured Muppet who's real silly. I think gender doesn't matter in this particular instance. I'm going to give it to Fozzie because I think it's funny. And that leads us to, I think, the end. Oh, no, Lewis. Right, Lewis. Big, strong dolt. Big, strong dolt that plays against Piggy. I wasted Fozzie. But, like, Fozzie's way better for Bertha. Actually, no, that's not true. Fozzie is Lewis, because big, big, dumb dolt. Bertha, then, should be someone old. Rolf. We'll do Rolf. An old, wise sage. Yeah. Okay. That's my Pippin cast. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I think we're gonna speed on ahead. Let's do Cabaret. I think what y'all are gonna discover about this is that I know very little about Cabaret. I kind of take offense to it lightly. It's from 1972. You know what? This is one of Amelia's favorite shows. And so is Chicago. So the Muppets, Muppet or Woman, is now going rogue. We are going to do a show that I like. And I don't know what it is yet. We're going to Google musicals. And we're going to pick a show that I like that we're not doing later this week. And we're going to talk about it. Let's see. Musicals. Da di da di da 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 da. Ugh. Why is it that when you Google musicals, it lists Lion King, Les Mis, Wicked, Hamilton, Mamma Mia? Like, why is it listing literally the most basic musicals of all time? Okay. We did most of the musicals that I like already, somehow. And the ones that we haven't done that I like, we've listed later. Fun fact about me, one of my favorite musicals of all time is Cats. Or not Cats, oh my goodness, Starlight Express. We can't do Starlight Express because no one knows it. And also, it's, again, one of those shows where, like, the characters are somewhat generic, and so talking about them is kind of pointless. Like, we can't really do Come From Away. We can't really do, like, we can barely do Hamilton, and we can barely do Six. Like, there's a certain amount to which, like, characters are kind of similar throughout it. And so there's not, like, the Muppets, it's not that the characters are designed poorly by any stretch. It's just that the Muppets kind of represent a really, like, vast, like, expanse of character types. And so it ends up being just kind of messy. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do Shrek. Actually, no, that's a really... We're going to do Seussical? I'm thinking of this. I was thinking yesterday about musicals that my little brother would be good in. And that's now... Yeah. We're going to do a Seussical intervention. Seussical intervention. Horrible, horrible decisions are currently being made. I low-key, unapologetically enjoy Seussical. Which is just not good. That being said, we're going to do it because I think it's absolutely hilarious. Okay, the main characters in Seussical are Cat in the Hat, Jojo, Horton, Gertrude, Maisie, the Mayor, the Lorax, Schmidt, General Genghis Khan, Schmidt, Sour Kangaroo, and the Onceler. It also lists Mrs. Mayor. I don't remember that. I do remember that my friend's little sister played her in our version when I was in middle school. I think I was, like, 12, and I was a bird girl. There were 5 bird girls. I was the alto bird girl. I'm a soprano, just putting that out there. Anyway, pardon me. Oh, yeah, we're doing this. Okay. Probably should start with Horton. Horton is a Kermit. And I'll tell you why. Horton is a Kermit because he is the most, like, chillaxed character ever. He is like a wet blanket and people walk all over him. And I stand by this. Okay, this is where we get into funky territory. Gertrude McFuzz, Maisie LaBird, and the Sour Kangaroo are your powerhouse vocal women in the show. Your lead upper voices, if you will. There are ways that we can get around this, but the question becomes, who is Piggy? Is it Gertrude, is it Maisie, or is it Sour Kangaroo? Because really, it should be Sour Kangaroo. But if Kermit is Horton, then it should be Gertrude. And it really shouldn't be Maisie, if we're being really honest, because Maisie, I think, is going to end up being the one human, because I love Maisie. And because Maisie has, her entire subplot is that she has, like, an affair with some random person and gets pregnant. Yeah. There are very few things that I would not like to see a Muppet do. The list gets longer, honestly, because we did Sound of Music a few weeks ago. And we just decided out of hand to do every character that was vaguely Nazi-esque as a human. And we were debating about how we would do West Side Story, which is coming up in like 2 weeks. And we were debating about how we make Muppets racist. And again, any character that's I just don't want to see a Muppet do it. I hold them too close to my heart. I don't like it. Anyway, I suppose we can come back to Maisie LaBird, because I do feel like you could very easily make her into Janice. It's a sad storyline for a Muppet to take. Although she's kind of perky throughout. I don't know. It's interesting. In our version, we did it in a high school. We were in high school when we did it. The theme was high school. It was Seussical set in a high school. And that meant that, like, the bird girls were dressed like cheerleaders. And so the whole lull was that, like, Maisie was a pregnant teen. Which I don't know if they thought all the way through, but was deeply upsetting. Anyway. Right. If Horton is Kermit, I think Gertrude is Piggy. And you can come at me later. I'm going to give Janice to Maisie, and I'm going to make the Bird Girls Electric Mayhem. Let's see. The listing that is normally Emilio's job, but I'm trying to, like, keep a record of what I've done. the atrocities I made. This is going to be an obvious one. Schmidt is, or Schmiz, I don't really know. I don't remember exactly how to pronounce his name. It's always funnily pronounced. General Genghis Kong Schmidt is how I always pronounce it. Is Sam the Eagle. That's obvious. That's so obvious that if you even kind of disagree, you can shut it. The mayor and Mrs. Mayor, I've now decided, are Bunsen and Beaker. A joke that I did not get as much until I said it in that specific way. Mostly because she doesn't talk much, and he's a straight-laced little guy. Their kid is JoJo. Huh. Right. Huh. Okay. I'm tempted to give JoJo to, like, a child. But I don't really want to, because I'd rather him get played like he is in the Horton Hears a Who movie, where he's played by, like, an angsty teen. And I think that there's room to, like, give him to Rizzo or something just because of, like, the gag that he's small. But then he sings these very, like, falsetto-y numbers, and so, like, he kind of should be Robin. But also, there's, Yeah. Also, it occurs to me that, like, that the child at the end of it that is, like, Maisie LaBird's kid is technically the, like, love child of Maisie and Horton because he sits on the egg for so long. It's, like, a bird with a it's an elephant with wings or something. And it would be really a gag if, like, it was the pig hybrid child, like, that you get with, like, when Kermit and Piggy are envisioning their life together. So it'd be almost funnier if Maisie was Piggy. Darn it! Okay, back up. Who did I say was gonna be the human? Uh-huh. Okay. Let's back up. Let's back all the way up. We're gonna make Piggy Maisie. And then their love child is that weird little hybrid thingy. And then we're gonna give Gertrude to the one human. And that one human needs to serve Christian Chenoweth in a way that I can't actually explain. I would almost give it to Belly Yow. Shout out. I genuinely think that Belly Yow is, like, the Gertrude to end all Gertrudes, and I have not told her that to her face, but I probably should. Right. Gertrude. I don't know actors very well. That's the main problem here. My brain immediately goes to Schmigadoon because we've been doing Schmigadoon, so we're giving it to Dove Cameron. I hate it, kind of, but go with it. Simply just because I can't think of anything else. That means that we're going to make JoJo into Robin, I think, unfortunately. Although he's supposed to look like the son of Bunsen and Beaker. Ah, okay. Okay. What about Walter? Yeah, it's giving Walter. Okay. Cat in the Hat is Gonzo. I don't feel like I need to explain that. Anyone else? Oh, the Sour Kangaroo. Sour Kangaroo can... What if the Sour Kangaroo was just casually, like, Rizzo or Fozzie? I don't know why that... Oh, let's do Rizzo. I've decided that this is now mayhem. And then we'll make the Lorax Fozzie, because Fozzie needs a spot. And also because that works. Okay. To review, then, Horton is Kermit, Gertrude is the one human, i.e. Dove Cameron, Maisie is Piggy, and all the bird girls are Electric Mayhem, including Janice now. Cat in the Hat is Gonzo, Sarah Kangaroo is Rizzo, the Mayor and Mrs. Mayor are Bunsen and Beaker, General Genghis Khan Schmidt is Sam the Eagle. The Lorax is Fozzie, and I think I've read all of them. I read them out of order. I don't know why I did that, but that's my list. That is, in fact, my list. Okay, I've gone completely off book today. I hope that you enjoyed dealing with my insanity. If you were wondering why I didn't cast all the minor characters, sorry, not sorry. I mean, there's obvious places, like Yertle the Turtle is probably Rolf. Vlad Vladikov is Cousin Deadly. Young Kangaroo is another rat. The Grinch, honestly, is Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street. Like, a little casual note. Actually, I kind of think that's perfect. the Wickersham brothers are like the evil biker gang from what's it called? Oh my goodness, Wizard of Oz. And then the citizens of Hoodville are your assorted Muppet gang. But yeah, I love this show, and I understand why we do it in American high school so often. I honestly wouldn't be against doing it here, although I'm a fourth year, and I only really have like 3 weeks left. So it's kind of the end of the line for me. Not even going to lie. I'm advocating, though, that somebody do some of the shows that we've mentioned that they should do across these last semester as the show next semester. I know there are proposals going on. If you want to propose, please do propose. And if you do, propose with Seussical. It might, may or may not actually get passed, but go propose it, please. Anyway, I'm going to end us here, send you off with a song. Amelia's not here, so I'm not doing the interrogation song. Have a good Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready to have a good time tonight?
This is where you're here tonight.